The sick philosopher lies on his bed, moaning in pain. He's been self-medicating on celery seed enemas, but it seems to have made him sicker, not better. He calls out to a slave to get him more wine. The slave prepares his drink, and as he does so, he slips a deadly herb into the bottom of the cup. Avicenna, the philosopher, doesn't seem to notice as he gratefully takes the first sip. It will be one of the last things he ever does.
Brains of the people are more interesting than the looks, I think.
Electric power is everywhere present in a limited quantity.
Jane, if you really want something, and you work hard, and you take advantage of opportunity, and you never give up.
You're listening to Human Angle, a podcast that focuses on the hidden lives of scientists, asking what makes them human. I'm your co-host, Kim Castleberry, here with my other co-host, Kenna Castleberry.
Thank you, Kim, and thank you to all of our listeners. You followed us on this whole journey for 3 years, and we're so grateful for your support. This is one of the last few episodes we have on this podcast as we're winding down. If you're a new listener, you can find our podcast on all your favorite platforms, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and other places. Be sure to like, subscribe, and share with your friends and family.
This is one of our last episodes of our shows, as we are slowly coming to an end here at Human Angle. We so appreciate all of the fans we have who have followed us throughout our journey. This episode focuses on Avicenna, a Persian thinker who is regarded as one of the most significant physicians, astronomers, thinkers, and writers during the Islamic Golden Age. Of the 450 works he is believed to have written, around 240 have survived, including 150 on philosophy and 40 on medicine. We will be discussing his early life, his writings, and his later years.
Avicenna was born in 980 AD in the village of Afsana in modern-day Uzbekistan to a family of Persian stock. His father was a town bureaucrat and helped serve as the governor of the village. Avicenna also had a younger brother. A few years later, the family settled in Bukhara, a center of learning which attracted many scholars. It was there that Avicenna was educated, which early on was seemingly administered by his own father. Though both Avicenna's father and brother had converted to Ismailism, a subsect of Shia Islam, he himself did not follow the faith. He was instead an adherent of the Hanafi school, which was also followed by the Samanids. Hanafi was one of the four traditional major Sunni schools of Islam. Avicenna was first schooled in the Quran and literature, and by the age of 10, he had memorized the entire Quran. He was later sent by his father to an Indian greengrocer who taught him arithmetic. That's probably actually very helpful.
Interesting.
I'm sure the greengrocer probably had to use that all the time to not get cheated.
Well, and you wonder what is a greengrocer back in their
right.
age, right?
Yeah, exactly.
What was that?
Truly? Could have been a trader, could have been
just
a marketplace seller, who knows? Sometime later, Avicenna's father invited the physician and philosopher Abu Abdallah al-Natali to their house to educate Avicenna. The philosopher made Avicenna read many ancient classical books to expand his education. Sometime later, the philosopher told him to educate himself independently. By the time Avicenna was 18, he was well-educated in Greek sciences. Although Avicenna only mentions Natali as his teacher in his autobiography, he most likely had other teachers as well. By age 16, Avicenna turned to medicine, a discipline over which he claimed, quote, easy mastery. When the Sultan of Bukhara fell ill with an ailment that baffled the court physicians, Avicenna was called to his bedside and cured him. In gratitude, the Sultan opened the Royal Samanid Library to him, a fortuitous benevolence that introduced Avicenna to a veritable cornucopia of science and philosophy. By the time Avicenna was at least 21 years old, his father had died. He was subsequently given an administrative post, possibly succeeding his father as the governor of Harmaitan. Avicenna began his prestigious writing career at age 21. Some 240 titles bear his name. They cross numerous fields, including mathematics, geometry, astronomy, physics, metaphysics, philology, music, and poetry. Often caught up in the tempestuous political and religious strife of the era, Avicenna's scholarship was unquestionably hampered by a need to remain on the move. He found solace in the city of Rey, in modern-day Iran. He involved himself in various political campaigns, sometimes clashing with whoever the leader in the area was. It was during one of these stays that he completed his Book of Healing, writing 50 pages a day. Unfortunately, right after, he was imprisoned due to a coup, but then later released by the victor. During this time, Avicenna fell ill with colic. He treated himself by employing the heroic measure of 8 self-administered celery seed enemas in one day.
Oh.
Yeah.
Heroic? Talk about, like, painful?
Yeah.
Ouch. However, the preparation was either inadvertently or intentionally altered by an attendant to include 5 measures of active ingredient instead of the prescribed 2. That caused ulceration of the intestines. Unfortunately, during his treatment, a slave attempted to poison Avicenna by surreptitiously adding a surfeit amount of opium. Weakened but indefatigable, he accompanied the leader of Rey on his march to Hamadan. On his way, he took a severe turn for the worse, lingered for a while, and died in the holy month of Ramadan.
Well, let's look at Avicenna's overall impact in history. While his life was embellished by friends and vilified by foes, by all accounts, he loved life and had a voracious appetite for lively music, strong drink, and promiscuous sex. His wit and expansive brilliance won him many friends, but his flouting of Islamic puritanical conventions earned him even more enemies. Avicenna wrote extensively on early Islamic philosophy, especially the subject of logic, ethics, and metaphysics, including treatises named Logic and Metaphysics. Most of his works were written in Arabic, then the language of science in the Middle East, and some in Persian. Of linguistic significance, even to this day, are a few books that he wrote in nearly pure Persian language. Avicenna initiated a full-fledged inquiry into the question of being, in which he distinguished between essence and existence. He argued that the fact of existence cannot be inferred from or accounted for by the essence of existing things, and that form and matter by themselves cannot interact and originate the movement of the universe by the progressive actualization of existing things. Avicenna was a devout Muslim and sought to reconcile rational philosophy with Islamic theology. His aim was to prove the existence of God and his creation of the world scientifically through reason and logic. Avicenna's view on Islamic theory and philosophy were erroneously influential, forming parts of the core of curriculum at Islamic religious schools until the 19th century. Avicenna also made a large contribution to medicine as he wrote The Canon of Medicine. Avicenna's penchant for categorizing became immediately evident in the canon, which is divided into 5 books. The first book contains 4 treatises, the first of which examines the 4 elements, earth, air, fire, and water, in light of Greek physician Galen of Pergamum's 4 humors, blood, phlegm, yellow bile, and black bile. The first treatises also include anatomy. The next few sections deal with hygiene, disease, and diet. He also made some weird medical contributions. Avicenna's suggestion of wine as a wound dressing was commonly employed in medieval Europe. He also described a condition known as Persian fire, or anthrax, correctly correlated the sweet taste of urine to diabetes, and described the guinea worm. While Avicenna left some strange and remarkable impressions on history, his work has not gone unnoticed. In 1950, his tomb was refurbished and transformed into an impressive mausoleum adorned with imposed Mughal-inspired tower. A museum and 8,000-volume library were added as well. Avicenna's resting place remains a major stop for tourists in the region. Now, as when he was alive, the great physician and philosopher continues to attract the attention of scholars and the public alike.
So, first off, the guy was completely crazy. No, I'm teasing. I think he definitely is one of those people, and he kind of had to be because of the age he was growing up in, where he literally had to try everything for science, which included like drinking urine to see if it tasted sweet, to see if you had diabetes, or giving yourself 8 enemas in one day. So I do feel like his death was painful probably and long and drawn out and awful.
And I'm curious why? What was the rationale for
the enemas?
Well, and to slip in the drugs, right?
I'm sure he probably wasn't the best, because they said that a slave did it. And again, we don't have like all the notes because it was so old.
Yeah.
But I'm sure like he probably wasn't the best boss for that. So I'm sure like, or maybe again, like he did make a lot of political enemies as well. So it could have been like somebody who was trying to take him out. But yeah, what an interesting guy. And in the stuff that we do have, like, not only does he make some really big contributions to medicine and saying, like, here's what to do, here's what not to do, and, like, paving the way for other people, but also just, like, what an interesting life.
Absolutely. And using himself as a guinea pig, I'm sure, along the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not the smartest of moves, but...
celery enema.
That's a first.
That is a first. Yeah. I have not heard of celery.
All right, didn't need to go there, didn't think we were gonna go there, but we did.
we went there.
Thank you for listening to our episode on Avicenna. Stay tuned for our next and final episode on Barbara McClintock, an American scientist who was awarded the 1983 Nobel Prize in Physiology or Medicine.